We're studying angiology. Angiology, it comes from two Greek words, doesn't it?
Anglos
and logos. Did you study anything like this back there in the seminary at Montana?
Nope.
Did you have any Greek at all?
No.
No Hebrew?
Nope.
They don't even push that anymore, do they? And yet that's where the Bible originates from, Greek and Hebrew. Anglos, we're studying about angiology. Now, we're on page 191 in systematic theology. 191, but we're not looking at this too much. We're studying mostly from the Bible. That's Lectures in Systematic Theology by Thiessen. Angiology, we talked about it last week. Now, there's a couple of orders of angels that we can think of, actually maybe even three orders of angels. They're seraphim and cherubim, aren't they? What's seraphim? What's the root of seraphim?
Is it
what?
Fire? No.
Fire.
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 Yeah, okay.
Fire. Blaze. Fire. The seraphim. And then cherubim. Are they, the cherubim literally means to hold fast. Hold on to something really tight. But it also has got the idea of wind. Mm-hmm. Because cherubim have wings, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
They have wings. How many of you ever been around chickens? They ever flap their wings? And the roosters will sit there and they'll crow, but they'll pop their wings before. Now, what you hear in the popping the wings, you know what that is? That's breaking the sound barrier. That pop, pop, pop is breaking the sound barrier. Now, when airplanes began to fly faster than speed of light, or not light, but sound, they had a sonic boom. Remember the sonic boom? Boom, boom. Did you know that they thought at one time if you flew faster than the speed of sound that the airplane would explode? At one time, people thought that if you passed 60 miles per hour, something disastrous would happen. That car would fall apart or something, because that was a barrier. 60 miles an hour was something that you could not do. But now let's go back and look at this. The seraphim and the cherubim. We've got a lot of scriptures we're going to look at today. But I want to give you just something to write down. And I know you can't write all these down, so you'll have to go listen to this class again or watch it again to get all of these scriptures, okay? The seraphim, the burning nobles. The burning nobles. Okay, that's what we have. The seraphim are burning nobles. These are something that are very noble, and yet they have tremendous strength and power. Isaiah 6, 2 and 6. Now, cherubim, in Genesis 3 and 24, we know that after Adam and Eve sinned, that God put a cherubim to guard them away from the tree of life. Did he not? And they had a flaming sword. Okay, Genesis 3 and 24, Exodus the 37th chapter, Hebrews 9 and 5, Ezekiel 10, 1 through 8, 2 Samuel 22 and verse 11, 1 Kings 6, 26, all of these scriptures that we're talking about here, and there are many more in the Bible, I'm just giving you some of them. Now let's go and look at Ezekiel, the 10th chapter. Ezekiel chapter 10. And just read a little bit about it. And I looked and behold in the expanse that was over the heads of the cherubim. These are cherubim. By the way, im on the end of that means what? Plural. There's more than one. Cherubs are very... very seldom spoken of in the singular. It's cherubim, plural. The cherubim, something like a sapphire stone appearance and resembling a throne, appeared above them. And he spoke to the man, clothed in linen, and said, "Enter in between the whirling wheels under the cherubim. And fill your hands with the coals of fire from between the cherubim, and scatter them over the city." And he entered in my sight. And now the cherubim was standing on the right side of the temple when the man entered the cloud and filled the inner court. And the glory of the Lord went up from the cherub to the threshold of the temple. And this is when the glory of the Lord leaves. And leaves. The glory of the Lord left the temple, remember? Amen. Israel was no longer worthy of the Shekinah glory of God. And you know what? God's churches have the Shekinah glory of God in them. Amen. The true ones. He's here. And he leads you into all wisdom and all understanding. And the glory of the Lord went up from the cherub, the threshold, the temple, and the temple was filled with a cloud, and the court was filled with the brightness of the glory of the Lord. And moreover, the sound of the, what? The wings of the cherubim was heard as far as the outer court, and the voice of Jehovah El Shaddai, Jehovah God Almighty, and he speaks. And it came about when he commanded the man clothed in linen, saying, "Take fire from between the whirling wheels and between the cherubim." And he entered in and stood beside the wheel. And a cherub stretched out his hand from between the cherubim to the fire, which was between the cherubim, and took some of it and put it in the hands of the one clothed in linen, who took and went out. And the cherubim appeared to have the form of a man's hand under his wings. Now let's go to Ezekiel 28. Let's go to Matthew 4 first. I know I'm running you back and forth here. Let's go to Matthew, the 4th chapter. We're going to see this fellow later on. Matthew chapter 4. Now, Kaiho Logo Sarks Aganito. What did I just say? And the Word. Who's the Word?
Jesus.
Jehovah. And Jehovah fleshy became and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory, the only begotten full of the Father, full of grace and truth. John 1:18 says, no man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten God, the one being in the bosom of the Father, he has led himself out. And here he is in Matthew, the 4th chapter. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness, Adaramu, into the total wilderness, to be tempted by the devil. And after he had to be tempted by the devil, and the devil is a cherub, I want you to understand it. This is a very powerful being. Is he not? Mm-hmm. Okay. And he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and then he became hungry. How many of you have ever gone without eating for 1 or 2 days?
Never.
When I was young, I was very poor, lived in a shack, one-room shack, made out of just boards that were picked up on the canal bank. Had a dirt floor that my grandmother used to throw water on and sweep, so it was almost like tile. It was adobe. Little old wood stove on one side, a little table on the other side, and a bed in the back of it. And I went to bed hungry lots of times with my stomach hurting. Have you ever gone to bed with your stomach hurting because you were hungry? You don't sleep very well. And I woke up with my stomach hurting a lot of times. And I didn't have to go that long, but one of the reasons why is because the food I was eating was spoiled. We had no refrigeration, and we had a pot of beans, and we ate beans and beans and beans. But the beans would boil in the heat of Bakersfield at 120, 125 degrees in the daytime, and go in there and those beans would boil in with no fire under them. They were fermenting. My grandmother would throw a little baking soda in them and make them boil at least. When they started boiling, she would make them boil for 20 minutes before we'd eat them. But still, we would get sick sometimes. It's terrible to be hungry. But Jesus went without eating for 40 days and 40 nights. For us. For every starving child that ever lived in the world, and little children that are starving, their bellies get all swelled up, don't they? They look like they got great big bellies because the gas in there is swelling up and it's hurting them, and their stomach is eating itself. He went without eating for 40 days just to let you know he knows what it is to be hungry. You've been hungry. I've been hungry. That lasts for a lifetime, I'm going to tell you. You'll never forget being that hungry. You'll never forget being hungry like that. And after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, then he became hungry. Very hungry. Extremely hungry. Now he's at his most vulnerable point with the devil, the Diabolos. Now they call him Diabolos here. Before he was a cherub. And we're going to go back and look at him before. This is what he became. And the tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, since you are the Son of God is what it actually says, since you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. You have power. Why, I saw you create the heavens and the earth. You have power. Just do it one more time for me. Obey me. Obey me. How many of you ever obeyed the devil? You ever obeyed the devil? Well, sure you have. I have. Everybody has. But not Jesus. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And the devil took him again into the holy city. Now, what city is that? Jerusalem. And he took him over there. Now, you've been there, Sherry. How many of you have been in Jerusalem? Anybody been in Jerusalem? You've been in Jerusalem. When you're looking from the Mount of Olives to Jerusalem, there's a point up there on the wall that's hundreds of feet down, straight down. Now, that's where many people believe that the devil took him right there. And he said, jump off. Look down here. Let's see what it says. Now, he said, he took him into the holy city. He had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple, right on the wall, where it looks hundreds of feet down. And he said, since you are the Son of God, since you are. He knew he was. Amen. That's a first-class conditional right here. That's a condition determined as fulfilled. In English, we have if there, but not in Greek. It's since you are the Son of God. Throw yourself down, for it is written, he will give his what? Angels. Look at this word angels here. Moloch. Moloch. That's the word Moloch. Moloch. Now, Moloch is a... It means to serve. It means to minister to. It means to bring a message. It means to protect. It means to surround with protection. Now he said, now he knew all about these angels, didn't he? Because he took one third of them with him. He said, since you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will give his what? Angels. Moloch. His angels charge concerning you. They're going to protect you. They're going to cover you. They're going to be a bodyguard to you. They're going to minister to you. And on their hands, they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone.
So is this where we get our guardian angels?
That's right. Okay. But Jesus had angels. Mm-hmm. How many angels did he have? He had two-thirds of all the angels that were ever created. Lucifer only has one third of the angels. And he said to him, on the other hand, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to test. Thou shall not tempt the Lord your God. Who's speaking to Satan? The Lord his God. You shall not tempt me. I am the Lord your God. And again, the devil took him. Voluntarily, Jesus went. For you and me. Voluntarily, Jesus went. Again, the devil led him to a very high mount and showed him all the kingdoms of the universe. Physical and spiritual. He saw them all. Physical and spiritual. And he said, all these things I'll give to you if you fall down and prostrate yourself to me. Worship me. Now God had become flesh. Kaiho Logos Sarxaganito. And the word, the Jehovah flesh, he had become. Now, because Jesus became flesh, he also lowered his, what we call, deity to a certain extent, mm-hmm. so he could become vulnerable like you are. Mm-hmm. We're vulnerable to higher powers, aren't we? Mm-hmm. We're vulnerable to them. I don't care how long you've been saved, whether it's 5 minutes or 50 years, you are vulnerable to higher powers, supernatural powers. Mm-hmm. So Jesus is showing us that he overcame all of this. He overcame all of these powers because he's living in a body. And he was 100% man, wasn't he? Mm-hmm. But he's still 100% Jehovah. Mm-hmm. But the man was vulnerable. Could Jesus, was he affected by heat? Mm-hmm. Was he affected by cold? Was he affected by hunger? Mm-hmm. It is told us that. Did he ever work so hard that he was just starving and faint? Was his body able to be faint? Was it able to be tired for us? Then Jesus said to him, behold, Satan, be gone, Satan. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord thy God and him only. You worship me and me only. And the devil left him. Behold, angels came and began to minister to him. Angels. Now let's go back again to Isaiah the 14th chapter. Isaiah chapter 14.
14 or 28.
Isaiah 14 and verse number 12. Okay, Isaiah 14 and verse number 12. We're going to talk about Hallel. Mm-hmm. Hallel. This was Satan's name here. That's it. Hallel. Guess what it means? Shining one. Shining one. It seems that Lucifer, that was his name, Lucifer in Latin, Hallel in Hebrew. The word Lucifer comes from the Latin Vulgate. It didn't come from the Hebrew Bible. It seems that he had many of the attributes of a seraphim and a cherubim, and he was an archangel also. All right? And how you're fallen from heaven, O Hallel, Star of the morning, son of the dawn, and how have you been cut down to earth, and how have you weakened the nations? What nations? What nations? The heavenly, celestial, angelic nations. Why, in the book of Revelation, and we find out that he took one third of all the spiritual forces and the angelic forces with him, didn't he? He was able to talk them into following him. How have you weakened the nations? But you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven and I will raise my throne above the stars of God. Who are the stars there?
The
all the angels of God. All the what are stars? In the Hebrew, it means shiners, twinklers and shiners. All the shining ones, all the cherubim and all the seraphim. I will raise my throne above all of these, and I will sit on the mount of the assembly in the recesses of the north. So where is heaven? You go to the north of the earth and go straight up into the third heaven. And that's the abode of God. Now we all know about the first heaven. That's the atmosphere. The second heaven where the cosmos and the stars are. And the third heaven is the abode of God. Now we have a great mistake in history, in a culture of Islam, because they've got seven heavens. There is no evidence there are seven heavens at all. But all scientists will talk to you about the first two heavens. And they don't know much about the third heaven, but they're at least the first two heavens. They're there. You know when you were up there, Jason, in Fish Lake Valley? You saw the Milky Way for the first time in your life. Now, if you'd have been there, you could have seen the northern lights at a different time. You'd have seen the whole sky light up. Just light up. Like blue. But you know what you were seeing? You were seeing the galaxies out there. You were seeing the far reaches of the heavens and the stars and the galaxies and all that. But above that, way beyond that, is the throne of God. Mm-hmm. And I will go to the recesses of the north, and I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will make myself like the Most High. Nevertheless, you'll be thrust down the Sheol to the recesses of the pit, and those who see you will gaze at you and will ponder at you, saying, is this the man who made the earth to tremble? Now, I must say this. I just finished all of Pilgrim Progress. Did you get to listen to all that, Chris?
I'm on number three.
Yeah. Brother Ray, when you got about that far, you said, I'm getting it, I'm getting it. I'm getting it, I'm getting it.
I used to read it to my kids.
I'm so, getting it, I'm getting it.
Oh, it's wonderful. Oh.
Now we see all of this. Have there ever been men in history that caused the earth to tremble? Mm-hmm. Can you think of one man that has caused the earth great, great distress for 1,000 years? One man? One man that's caused great distress of the earth for 1,000 years. 1,100, 1,200, 1,300, 1,400 years. His name was Muhammad. One man has caused bloodshed of over 270 million people and counting. But now out there in the spiritual forces also, there is one being that is called spiritual bloodshed and death of so many angels and spirits and mankind for thousands of years. And his name is Lucifer, or Hillel, or Satan, who shook the kingdoms, who made the world like a wilderness. Now, we have in Genesis 1 and 1, we said, we have Barashith, Bara, Elohim, Eth HaShemayim, we Eth HaAretz. In one of the beginnings, God had created the heavens and the earth. And then it says, we HaAretz, Hathiatohu Vavohu, we Hoshaka El Pnei HaMayim, we Ruah Elohim, Merith Pesheth El Pnei HaMayim. And it says, and then it says, and the earth, she had become formless and void. That word right there, in a wilderness. He took God's glorious creation and turned it into a wilderness spiritually and physically. And then it says, Spirit God, Ruah Elohim, Merpacheth. Ruah Elohim, Spirit God, or the Holy Spirit, suffered over and mourned over the faces of the deep and the water. Like he mourns over every person that he calls to himself in salvation. Who overthrew its cities and who will not allow his prisoners to go home. Are any of the fallen angels ever going to be redeemed?
No.
How about spirits, which we call demon spirits? Any of them ever going to be redeemed?
No.
All right, now let's go to Ezekiel 28. Ezekiel 28. Now, I know that these scriptures are very familiar with you, okay, and to you. Now, Isaiah, we're talking about the king of Babylon, and over here we're talking about the king of Tyre. Mm-hmm. We have dual prophecies, double prophecies, mm-hmm. one to them and one to the other. Now, what we saw about the king of Babylon was not talking about Nebuchadnezzar, was it? In the scriptures that we talked about there. Did he ever ascend into heaven?
Mm-hmm.
No. Who ascended into heaven? Hillel did. Mm-hmm. Lucifer. Now, Ezekiel 28 and verse number 11. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation over the king of Tyre, and say to him, Thus saith the Lord God, Jehovah Elohim, you had the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Did the king of Tyre ever have this? Uh-uh. Ooh, the Mia, not once. But who did? Did God ever create anything that was imperfect?
No.
I was in Bishop, California yesterday at the Salvation Army, and giving ham radio test about 12 o'clock. By the way, brother, I drove from Bishop at 2:30, and I was here at 6. Going down that dawn through Arvin at 6 o'clock. Moving just straight. Well, I went in there, and they had all kinds of Bibles. And then it says Tanakh. Have you ever watched the movie Eli? Have you ever watched the movie Eli?
No, but I know.
Well, there in the last of the movie, it said they didn't have a Bible. They had no Bible.
Yeah.
The book of Eli. And I look up there and it said Tanakh in Hebrew. There's Hebrew Old Testament right there. Well, I picked up this Tanakh. And it was a JPS, Jewish Publication Society. And it says, in the beginning, when God began to create the heavens and the earth was being formless and void. That's a poor translation. That's not what the Hebrew says at all. And you'd think those Hebrews know that, but they don't believe it. God didn't create a chaos. He created perfection. He created mankind in a perfect condition, angels and spirits in perfect conditions, but with one flaw, which wasn't a flaw. It wasn't a flaw, but with one little aspect of volition, choice. Like you have today, here, right now. You have a choice, don't you? What you going to do with your life today? What are you going to do with it? It's your choice, isn't it? You had the seal of perfection, full of wisdom, perfect in beauty, full of wisdom. What's one of the greatest things? Why, in that book, the Pilgrim's Progress, there was a guy in there that talks a lot. He talked all about Christianity and everything else, but he didn't have it. He talked about a guy knowing so much, but he didn't have it. He knew a lot of things about the Bible, but he didn't have it. You had the seal of perfection and full of wisdom and perfect in beauty, and you were in Eden, the garden of God. Now, was the king of Tyre ever in Eden? Who was the only person in Eden?
Lucifer.
Okay, Lucifer. The only person in Eden. You were in Eden, the garden of God. What's a garden mean? You remember what that means? Eden, what's Eden mean?
Pleasure, palace, little delicacies.
Eden, delicacies. Thank you, young lady. You remembered that. You get an A+ today. Delicacy, dainties. Like kings eat. We went to Bishop, California Thursday. We went down there and had to do something. I don't remember what it was. But we like to go to Bishop on Thursday, don't we, Marilyn?
Yeah.
Why? All right. Jack's Waffle Shop has fresh roasted turkey. They just pull it apart like pulled pork or something like that with gravy and mashed potatoes and all that kind of stuff. Dainties. Dainties like in a king's palace that nobody else can afford. Dainties. Well, I had a class the other day and Marilyn brought out the caviar. How many of you were there when she had the caviar? Mm-hmm. All right, caviar. This is food of kings, dainties. That's what Eden means. And the garden of God, the garden of God. A garden is something that is planted in rows, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Every precious stone was your covering. Now, I want you to go back in history, and I want you to go to the Quran, the Sunnah, the Hadith, or the Life of Muhammad by Ibn Ishaq. And he describes a Balak, a beast that is described right here, that led Muhammad into the seventh heaven, he said. Which we know there's only three. But he got seven. Seven, 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 seven. Seven earths, you know. Seven everythings. You were needing the garden of God, and every precious stone was your covering. And you read the description of that Balak. The Balak had the body of a mule and the head of a human. And he had all of the coverings that are listed right here. Right here. If you want to know how he was decked out, this is it. Every precious stone was your covering, the ruby, the topaz, the diamond. Why, you see Muhammad's description of this being, this beast, that took him on his night journey from Mecca to Jerusalem, and then from Jerusalem into the third heaven, is this description. Do you think the angel of darkness might have taken him on this journey? Mm-hmm. The ruby, the topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the lapis, the lazuli, the turquoise, and the emerald. I was up in Fish Lake Valley the other day, and I found a piece of turquoise that I found up there years ago. And Marilyn looked at that piece of turquoise, and what did it have on it, Marilyn?
Your sign.
My Indian sign. My name, Shugamiata Tonka. Traveling dog. The emerald and the turquoise and the gold and the workmanship of your settings and your sockets was in you the day you were created. They were prepared. You were the what? What's anointed mean?
Set apart for a holy...
Set apart for something thing. Very holy. HaMashiach, so to speak. The anointed one. The one that was picked out. The archangel of the material realm. Mm-hmm. Everything's triune, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Angels are triune. God is triune. Man is triune. Triune. There are three earths. Not three different earths, but there will be. The earth that was, the earth that is, and the earth that shall be. Okay? We have Michael, we have Gabriel, and we have Lucifer. Over the material realm, the intellectual realm, and the spiritual realm. And in man, in God, there's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Father, mind, soul, son, physical, Holy Spirit, spirit. We have this an angel, and then we have man. We have body, which we see. We have spirit, which we can learn about. And we have mind, which we communicate with. Made in the image of God. We have this. You were the anointed cherub who covers the covering. What did I tell you the angels did earlier? They cover. They protect. What did Lucifer protect? The material creation of God. And I place you there as a covering, as a... Remember how beautiful he is? And he's in... And how many Edens are there in the Bible? How many Edens? Two Edens. We have the one where Lucifer was, and we have the one where Adam was. Two Edens. Both of them are throne rooms. Because from that, man was to rule the universe. And in the end, the bride of the Lord, which I'm trying to prepare, the bride... I had a woman write a letter to me from Australia the other day. And she said, thank you for taking time to read that classic to us and to prepare that spotless bride for her stomach, for her husband. Thank you for taking that time. Keep on doing it. Keep on keeping on. That's what I'm doing right now. Keep on keeping on. And you were the anointed. You were the covering cherub that covers. And I place you there. You were in the holy government of God. The word mountain means government. It's talked about in the book of Revelation, the seven mountains. Not talking about seven mountains. Talking about seven governments. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And you study about them in history and find out who the seven governments were. I'm not even going to go there right now. You were the anointed cherub. He's a cherubim, or a cherub, isn't he? He's got wings, doesn't he? Which make wind. Who covers, and I placed you there, and you were in the holy government of God, and you walked among what? The stones of fire. In Ezekiel, the 10th chapter, did we just read about the stones of fire and the light in the presence in the throne of God? And the throne of God sets on what? It calls it a sea of glass, doesn't it? But what is it? It's not a sea of glass.
Diamond.
It's a diamond. It's a polished diamond that reflects all the fire and the glory of God. Boom. Isn't that beautiful? You were the northern cherub who covers and placed you there. You were in the holy government of God, and you walked in the midst of the stones of fire. And you were blameless in your ways. God did not create anything imperfect or flawless, flowing in any way, did he? From the day you were created until your unrighteousness became in you. And the Bible says in Genesis, the 3rd chapter, and it says the serpent, the Hanahash, the serpent became more evil and crooked and wicked than all of the other beasts of the field. He became that way. God didn't make that serpent that way. But from what we find in the Bible, that animals and beasts have volition. And they have souls. Now, I don't know all about that except exactly what it says. And I know that because God cursed that serpent, Hanahash, because he chose to allow the spirit of Satan to go in him and deceive the woman. Now, angels are triune too. They are body, form, which can go between dimensions. They are spirit, they have spirit, and they are souls, aren't they? Triune. Now, a lot of people only have them classified as dual, but they're triune. What entered in to Judas?
Spirit.
The what?
Spirit.
The spirit of Lucifer, Satan. What entered into the Nahash?
Spirit.
The spirit of Lucifer. Mm-hmm. We see this. Is there any disagreement with that? That's the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
You walked in the midst of the stones of fire. You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created until unrighteousness became in you. By the abundance of your trade, you were internally filled with violence. Hamas. That's the word. Hamas. Hamas. You know, we got a religious and a political group over there in the Middle East called Hamas. You know what that means? It means violence.
Mm-hmm.
Violence. Hamas means violence. Until Hamas was found in you, and you sinned, you went astray. Therefore I cast you as one profane from the holy government of God. And I have destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. And your heart was lifted up because of your what? No, it wasn't because of his ugliness. God didn't create him ugly. Have you ever seen a beautiful woman? A handsome man. Beauty. Beauty. But pretty is as pretty does, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
This pretty one didn't do good. You corrupted, you perverted your wisdom by reason of your splendor, and I cast you to the ground, and I put you before kings. Who are the kings? Archangels. The seraphim and the cherubim. That they may see you, and by the multitude of your sins and iniquities, in the unrighteousness of your trade, you profaned your sanctuaries, your place of service. I remember Brother Madden a long time ago. I've said that about a million times, haven't I? Brother Madden said, well, if all the whores and the whoremongers and thieves and liars would get saved before they joined God churches, we'd have a lot less trouble. Yeah, we would have a lot less trouble. Because they get in there, don't they? And here we have one of the angels, the most beautiful angel, I guess, in the government of God, that walked into the throne room of God, that does these terrible things. Therefore I brought you from the brought fire from the midst of you, and it has consumed you, and I've turned you into ashes upon the earth, and in the eyes of all who see you, and all who know you among the peoples are appalled at you, and you have become terrified, and you will be no more. Right there. Right there. In the end, I'll turn you to ashes. Yet he won't burn away with it. One thing about hell, it's a hot place, it's a place of torment, but it never quits, it never stops burning. And it says the souls of men and angels and spirits are as asbestos. You know what asbestos is? You played around with welding and stuff. They used to wrap pipes with asbestos. And out in the railroads, Joe Montragon ended up with that asbestos poisoning in his lungs. I can't remember what the term of it is right now. Yeah, that's it. Mm-hmm. He ended up with that because he was a welder out on the railroads, and they would take the pipes, or not the pipe, but the rails, and wrap them on both sides with asbestos. And it had barrels full of it, and they just wrap it up like that. And they'd weld that, they'd grind it, and they'd weld it, and they'd take that asbestos back off again. That's the souls of men will be as asbestos. Like asbestos. The souls of angels and souls of men. Now, I'm going to tell you something else about angels. Now, we preached last... Did you listen to this sermon last week? Mm-hmm. Okay. We talked about angelology last week, and we're talking about angelology today, and we haven't even begun to cover the surface of it. But I'll tell you one thing about angels. Marilyn, when she met me, all she'd ever had in her life were devils. Well, is that true or not?
Yeah.
Yeah. And she used to look at me at night times and look at me, and she'd smile. She says, are you an angel? And then, within 3 or 4 months after we met each other, she'd look at me real funny, and she says, are you real or are you an angel? That I'm telling the truth?
Yeah.
She'd ask me that all the time. Are you an angel? I sure am not. I'm not an angel by any means, nor will I ever be, nor will anybody else. No, when humans die, they don't become angels. Why, if you watch that, That's a Wonderful Life with Jimmy Stewart and George and all that other guys, you know. Remember the guy that was going to get his wings and all that kind of stuff, and he had to come back. He was a guy that died in 300 years before or whatever, and he had to come back and he had to do good deeds before he got his wings. Hogwash. That's a wonderful story about a wonderful lie, but it is absolutely theologically terribly incorrect. People, when they die, humans don't become angels. Angels were created. They are a created being of God. There's angels and spirits. And we talked about these three, Michael, Gabriel, and Lucifer, and among these angels, which are triune, there are spirits in those three realms. Now, if anybody gets any information from the dead, it comes from the spirits in Gabriel's realm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And doesn't Scripture say we're gonna judge the angels?
We're gonna judge angels, yeah. The bride is gonna judge angels.
So we're not gonna be angels.
We're not gonna be angels. We're gonna judge angels. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, we just have this place in this book because I disagree, and that's chapter 13, because I don't agree with everything that the writer says. Okay? Angels are triune. Angels have a material body. They have material. They are material. Yet they go between dimensions. They're not held in one dimension. We are held in a normal dimension that we know as the world. But there's a whole cosmos out there. We know that there's at least 10 dimensions. Angels and spirits go between those dimensions. And one of those is space and time. And if you look up here, you see eternity to eternity. Spirits and angels don't have to fool around here. They live in eternity. And when you die, you live in eternity. No longer space and time. We're stuck with space and time right now, aren't we? But one of these days, when we cross that threshold, you know, as that book, Pilgrim's Progress, it talks about Christian when he got to the great city, but he had to swim across this river, and the river was very deep or very shallow according to how he thought of it. And he went out there and he was just drowning. It was too deep for him, too deep, too deep. And his buddy kept holding him up till he got to the other side. That river typified death. When we cross from life to death. And it's scary, isn't it? But for a Christian, is it scary? There are Christians right now in the world being killed by Muslims. Right now. Someplace in the world. They're dying. And the bad thing about it is there's Mormons out there and there's Jehovah's Witnesses dying in these same countries. There are Christian scientists dying in these countries naming the name of Jesus. And they think they're going to get to go to heaven. The Muslims think they're going to get to go to heaven. But right to the pearly gates, if you're a Muslim, by the way, the only way you're going to get to heaven is if you die in jihad, in a struggle for Allah. That's the only way you can go to heaven, because you've got to go to hell and be purified through it. Otherwise. But if you die for Allah, you get to go straight to heaven. But in that little book, Pilgrim's Progress, there was a guy that went up there. And he had his own rules. And this rule is typified, his rules were typified of false religion. And he made this struggle and he went down this road and he took these pathways and all that. And he's straying on the straight and narrow. And he thinks he's going to get right there. But he comes up to the river. And this guy comes up with a boat. And he pays the boatman to go across the river. But when he gets across the river to the gates of the city, they said, "Where's your certificate of eternal life?" "I don't know if that's such thing." And there was another place over there, right over there, another gate right into the flames of hell. And that's where he got to go. So many people are dying for false religion today and through morality or whatever it is in this world, believing that Jesus isn't God and Jehovah's Witnesses. Mormon believing that they're one of the gods. When they get to their pearly gates, they get to go off to the left through the chute into the flames of fire. If you're here today and you know you're saved, be thankful.
Amen.
Amen.
Have you asked Jesus to save your soul and forgive you of your sins and ask him to come into your life and put him on the throne of your life? That's good. You know the truth, if you know the truth, give everything you got for it and sell it not. Mm-hmm. There's nothing in this world worth it, worth those other pathways. If you're out there someplace in the world listening to this message, have you asked the Lord to save your soul? Do you believe that Jesus Christ came into the world to die for sinners, that he went through the temptation that we did in Matthew, the 4th chapter today, for you, that he starved for you, that he suffered for you on the cross of Calvary, that he died for you, and then was buried and rose again? You believe that? You must believe that if you're going to have eternal life. You're going to get through that gate.
That's right.
You've got to have that. Whatever you want in your life, ask Jesus for it. Vincent, what song do we have of invitation today?
189.
Now, I just introduced you to this angel study. 189.
Christ our Redeemer died on the cross, died for the sinner, paid all his due. All who receive him need never fear.